Okay.
The people who are doing the skit, in position. So the Bible reading this morning, we're going to act out. It's John 11, 1-44 or so. John 11. And any kids, if they would like, can come up and help. Also, could I have one person? I've got one more role. You've got two small lines. A guy, perhaps? Thank you.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair.
Actually, we need Lazarus as well. We've got no lines. He's had to be wrapped up.
Jonathan,
thanks.
So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said,
"This sickness will not end in death. No, it is not. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days, and then he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
"But Rabbi, they said a short while ago the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you are going back."
"Are they not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up."
"Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better."
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
"Jesus is dead. If he was I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask."
"Your brother will rise again."
"I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
After this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
"The teacher is here and is asking for you."
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
"Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
Where have you laid him?
They replied, "Come and see, Lord." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
"Take away the stone."
"But Lord, by this time, there is a bad odour. For he has been there for days."
"Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
"Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come forth."
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face.
"Now take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Thank you very much. Just leave it all there. I think there's some paper down the back.
Yeah, that was the actual John 11, just acted a little.
Thank you very much. Do you want to head down the back? I think they've got some things for you. Yeah? Or do you want to stay up here? You want to stay up here? Okay, you can be my helper. Okay. Got some helpers. So this man died. Did you see that? Do you see that he died? And then what happened? He came back to life. Pretty radical, eh? Pretty crazy. Not just a normal thing, is it? It's pretty crazy. So this guy is sick. Jesus doesn't come. He stays away on purpose. He didn't stay away because he was busy, or he didn't want to come, or they didn't ask him the right way. He stayed away on purpose. Because he had God's timing. When he gets there, he not only cries, he weeps. He cries properly. Out loud and in front of people. I thought it was always weird that he cried here. Because didn't he come to raise him? Then he comes and he cries. He deeply cries. I was thinking, he could have, you know, there was all these people weeping and mourning that Lazarus had died. I think, couldn't he just, you know, walk past them all, "Hey, Lazarus, come out now." Like, couldn't he have just gone straight there? But he didn't do that. The people that were mourning, he was right there with them. He didn't just bypass them. He was right there with them in that time, in that moment. Even though he was going to raise Lazarus minutes, maybe an hour, not sure how long. But in that moment, the moment that they needed him, he was right there with them. Which I thought was quite cool. God was with them. And that kind of got me thinking, you know, when someone we love dies, we weep. But yet the time frame from when Jesus was with them weeping to raising, that time frame is probably not very long. And in the scale of eternity, it's not long at all. And I was thinking, you know, God's timing is so big, yet in our moments can seem drastically huge and terrible, and we can weep, and it can be not fun at all. Yet God comes and meets there
He doesn't bypass the situation because it's only a couple of minutes. Like, oh, you'll be over it in a day. Like, no, God came and met with them right there and then. Does that make sense? The time factor. So Lazarus was dead, very dead. He had been dead for 4 days. And from what I could kind of find out on the internet and things, there was a belief that the soul of the person stayed near the body for 3 days. And on the fourth, it was kind of like the decomposition of the body was so extreme. And that's when the soul was gone on day four, because the body exploded, what I read. Just 3 days on the fourth, soul's no longer there kind of thing. They're well and truly dead. You can't get any more dead by day four. That was the kind of, sorry, it's not very pretty, but the Bible's got lots of not very pretty bits in it, so. Martha, she says, Lord, but by this time there is a bad odour. There would definitely be a bad odour. Did she think that Jesus just wanted to see the body, pay respects? Or what does she think Jesus wanted to do? Because if she believed that he was going to rise from the dead, the odour wouldn't matter. Because we weren't talking about a dead person, we were talking about a person who was about to rise from the dead. So her mindset was still not in line with what God was going to do. Even though it had been said, he will rise, mindset still wasn't there. So God says, I'm going to do this, and yet don't really actually believe that he's going to do it. And I think that's quite true, or for me, often it's God says he will do this, but yet do we really believe he will follow through with it? When it comes to God actually doing something, I think often we're not expecting him to actually do it. It says the blind will see, the lame walk, lepers cleansed, the dead are raised, the destitute hear the good news. They're pretty big things in life. Like, they're not just casual, they're pretty drastic changes. Pretty big things, and God says that he does all of those things. That is our God. And the power of God is in us through the Holy Spirit. The God that does those things is with us. He is in us. John 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It says that. Do we really believe it? Two verses down, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and sending the Holy Spirit, which we actually looked at a couple of weeks ago. God is in us, and God can raise the dead. The power of God in us. Yet daily life can be hard. Can be a struggle to get out of bed in the morning. Daily life doesn't often feel like we have the power to raise the dead or heal the sick. Jesus has just shown that this power does not eliminate pain, loss, or grief. Because right before, he was in that place. And Jesus has shown that his power... I have just said that. Hardships are not eliminated, but they're not the end of the story. Lazarus raised, became alive. So why does daily life not feel like we could raise the dead? Why are we not in that space if Jesus said that we will do even greater things than this? Do we I don't feel like I'm there often, most of the time. I'll just casually go down the street and raise a dead person. It's not really in my daily life. The dead guy is alive. It's pretty drastic. And this is how the Bible talks about our old life. A drastic change from dead to alive in Christ. One of the symbolic aspects of baptism is going down in the water, is like dying with Christ, and coming out is you come into new life with Christ. So it's this sort of death and life thing is just a continual thing in the New Testament. Ephesians 2 verse 3. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. There are so many verses about dying and then being alive in Christ. Do you feel alive in Christ? Or do you just feel alive with Christ? I grew up in a Christian family, as you probably all know, and I've had a faith as long as I can remember. I can never remember not. So I've never had a conversion experience, you could say. So you're going to get a little testimony of me in here. But yeah, I didn't have a drastic conversion. I was once dead, now alive. I didn't have that. But I did have a drastic change in my faith when 12-ish, around there somewhere, I went to a Christian youth conference, and it was pretty radical change in me from before the conference to after. God did a whole bunch of awesome stuff, and it felt like God had opened up the world. It was quite big. It opened up faith, or it opened up my relationship with him. Like, I knew he always existed, I knew he was always with me, but after the conference, he was with me. Like, there was no, and I could feel him, like, I knew he was there, and it was so much more. It was like I was really alive, or, you know what I mean? Like, there was a big change for me. Yeah, it felt great. Life was different. So before this, I was alive and I had a strong faith, but the Holy Spirit made things go from good to exciting and real and on the edge, and it wasn't boring. Who said Christian life's boring? It's not. So back to Lazarus. Once he was raised, I bet he not only knew he was alive, but I bet he felt alive as well. So are you alive in Christ? Do you feel alive, or do you just know you're alive? Do you think Lazarus would have had a new perspective on this new life? Do you think he would have lived any different? Verse 44, the dead man came out, and his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. They really, from what I read, they really tie up the hands and the feet and really cover the face. Like, those are the three kind of things they do. So I'm not sure how he got out of the tomb, really. Yeah, Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The grave clothes. He could hardly walk, I'm sure. I'm not sure how he came out. He was alive, but he needed the grave clothes off. Now, if they were taken off, do you think he would have been naked? No, seriously. They would wash the body, and then they would wrap it in these cloths, grave clothes. So I think the Bible might be saying he was naked. Not really sure, but he would have been quite exposed, I think. yeah, maybe wrong, put it out there. So the grave clothes, yeah, they needed to come off before he could really live and put new clothes on. We die with Christ and we are given new life. But do we have any grave clothes on? And another way of putting it is often, you know, the old self, the old man, our old ways. Is any of that still attached, or have we not put on the newness of Christ in that area of our life? Maybe we don't feel like we can do great things. Greater things than Jesus even. We need a fresh understanding of how alive in Christ we are. Maybe we need to take some grave clothes off because they are hindering us. Ephesians 4, verse 22-24. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which has been corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, it says. Then you can put on the new self, which is not by your works or strength. It is God's likeness in righteousness and holiness that is given to us. We are changed from within by the Spirit. It's not a behavior modification plan. It's a heart transformation plan done by God's Spirit in us. I think that's a big thing for the Christian world. It's not a behavior modification plan. It's a heart transformation plan. Taking off the old self and putting on the new is part of the Holy Spirit's work in us, but also with us. We have a part to play. It's small comparatively, but we have a part to play with the Holy Spirit. Off with the old, on with the new. Grave clothes have no place with the living. I can imagine Lazarus really living and not just existing for the rest of his life. New perspective. So what could our grave clothes look like? And to get them off, do we need to be metaphorically naked, vulnerable, exposed, before we can really put on the new thing? On the farm, we always wear old clothes in our house. We always call them old clothes, and you never mix the old clothes with the new clothes. They're very distinct groups. Old clothes are for the farm, and they can get smelly in the cow shed, and very separate to everyday other clothes. Don't mix them. Grave clothes. It might be better to stand there half covered with grave clothes rather than to take the plunge. Or take the plunge and just put on new clothes. There's a story growing up that it was Grandpa's old slippers, and Grandpa loved his old slippers, and he was highly stubborn, and new ones wouldn't do because his old faithfuls were really the best, and they were fluffy and they were comfy and they were just his favourite. But really they didn't have much fluff at all left, and they weren't actually comfy, and they were full of holes, and they didn't really keep his feet warm, but he loved these old faithful slippers. And in the end of the story, he puts on the new ones and realizes how good they are. But he was stubborn, and he wouldn't put those new ones on because his old ones were just fine. But he had to take them off, expose his feet momentarily before putting the new ones on. Lazarus' hands and feet were bound. He was alive, but he couldn't go far or do much. His head was bound. He couldn't see or hear or speak properly. And spiritually, we can be the same. We can be alive, but we are still bound by things
that hold us back from really living all that God has for us. So what would your grave clothes look like? What holds you back from really living the life that God has for you? Life to the full, he says. What is keeping you bound up? Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so eagerly entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Another version says, throw aside everything that hinders. What is hindering you? Unforgiveness? Doubt? Fear of man? I found a list online that I'm just going to sort of read through. Great, stealing other people's ideas. But the first one, and it's sort of an idea of what grave clothes might look like, and they'll look differently for everyone. We'll all be hindered by different things. So this is just a list of possibilities that someone else wrote. Religious and social traditions often keep people in bondage. We've never done it that way before. Legalism keeps people in bondage. And believers are sometimes bound by dead works. Dead works are anything we do to obtain or maintain our salvation. Old sin habits keep people in bondage. Colossians 3. But now you must rid yourselves of all things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Next one, a failure to understand the exchanged life. So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In a life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not our works. It is by Christ alone. Another one, trying to live the Christian life by our own natural abilities rather than the grace of God. Another one, generational curses can keep people in bondage. Performance orientation can also keep us in bondage from living life to the full. It's a whole bunch of possibilities. Or maybe we put grave clothes on. I hear it so often and it frustrates me. It's kind of this attitude that I'm old and therefore I'm not as important. I've kind of done my main bit in life. There isn't much left. When you think things like that, you're devaluing your life. And it's like you're putting on grave clothes. God has a purpose for you being as old as you are, whether it's young or old. You're not an accident or a leftover. Your usefulness does not wear out unless your identity is only tied to earthly what you do in life. Who you are to God and others is still very important, if not more important. Do not put on grave clothes. God has a purpose for you being here. He has a plan and a purpose regardless of our age. Don't devalue who you are. Ask God what he sees in you. Ask him how he values you. We are saved. We are made alive in Christ. But throw off everything that hinders and run the race. Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. It says when Lazarus, Jesus said, take the grave clothes off. And it wasn't to
Lazarus to take the grave clothes off. It was actually the people around help him and take the grave clothes off. It wasn't just an individual thing, it was a community thing. Take the grave clothes off. So we need to help each other take the grave clothes off. And we need to accept help from others to take our own grave clothes off. There are a lot of people in this church who are very good at helping and giving. But we all need to receive help at some point too. As a church, an encouraging word to one another could be helping take someone's grave clothes off. As simple as an encouraging word. We all probably need help in discovering what grave clothes may be hindering us, how to remove them, and how to put on Christ, the new clothes. Just as Lazarus couldn't do it on his own, and we don't expect him to, when he's bound hand and foot, we don't expect him to unbind himself, do we? It's the same with us. We're not expected to unbind ourselves by ourselves. The best list of new clothes that I could think of was Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pretty good clothes, I'd say. And there's more. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God has given us new life and life to the full. Like Jesus weeping, Jesus will always meet us where we are and never bypass you. God will be with us and in us. God is a God who heals the blind and raises the dead. This God is in us and with us and wants to do life with us. Who said Christianity is boring? Alive in Christ, let the Spirit transform your minds and life rather than try to change your behaviour. Although do listen to the Spirit's promptings in regards to behaviour. Are you prepared to be a little vulnerable before God and others so that God can change you? I think Lazarus would say it's worth it. Maybe you feel free, and that's great. Maybe you feel like there are things hindering you. It's quite a big question, really, and probably one worth pondering. And so, in the next sort of minute or two, I'm going to let you ponder that. Ask God what might be hindering you. You may know, but maybe God is like, you know this bit here? I want that off so I can give you something better. So just, yeah, take a moment and ask God what might be hindering you, what he wants to give you instead.
something worth pondering. It's also something worth praying about. And so I'm gonna close the service, but I'm not gonna close the service. So I want to sort of put the challenge out there to be a bit vulnerable and exposed and actually share whatever you felt might have been hindering you. Share that with someone and pray for one another. Not with fancy words, like God sees the hearts. There's no fancy words needed. There's not a special fancy prayer. But to be open and honest and vulnerable and share with one another what might be hindering you, so together you can help each other take grave clothes off and live life to the full. So yeah, I encourage you to actually do that now in twos and threes. But I'm going to close the service because I know it's very late. And so yeah, I encourage you to do that now. If not, you can just in twos and threes, like, just pray for one another, have a great week, kind of thing. If you don't feel like comfortable sharing, which is totally okay, very okay. Don't do anything you're not comfortable with. But I do encourage you to be a little bit vulnerable and expose, like, yeah. So have a great week, and we'll see you next week. I think there's morning tea. Yep. So yeah, morning tea through here. If you'd like to pray or be prayed for, praise in twos and threes, or prayer up here, someone will pray with you.
Maybe Joe would just like to play that last song quietly while we're praying. That'd be nice.
Play the last song, Joe, just while
just
people,
quiet.
People pray. Yeah.
Thank you.